Hello and welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm Alex Jubilee. Hey guys. Anyways, this is an off the cusp podcast I want to record. So every time I see this topic come up on fighting game community Twitter, I can just link to it for the people that do care to listen and want to listen. Obviously, it's a lot easier to write stuff up without experience or with experience and, you know, have everyone misconstrue it or go all over the place. But huge topic as usual, especially with everyone still home before offline kind of at a bigger scale, you know, returns to offline tournaments where everyone's got to be playing on the same console or system across the board. But everyone's been at home for the last, you know, year and a half playing across PCs for fighting games. And Guilty Gear Strive recently came out and has been wildly successful, and I'm so happy for the team. I'm very closely connected to Arc System Works and their marketing and people there. We talk about the community pretty much on a weekly basis across a multitude of topics and events and, you know, all the cool stuff that they work on. I'm very lucky to be previewed to with my experience, but I'm not talking about any of that. But Guilty Gear Strive has been huge, right? I've been hosting a couple weeklies for DreamHack Community Clash. We had to cap it at 128 because it's a Tuesday night event, small prize pool, and we just wanted to, you know, have a smooth 4-hour event. And those went well. Leffen, a very famous community member from the Melee community, one of the best players in the history of Super Smash Brothers Melee, who's also very talented in other fighting games he touches, from Street Fighter, he's been decent at Guilty Gear Strive. He's been hosting some really amazing 1500 plus online tournaments for it. And he's got, you know, nearly 300,000 Twitter followers. So anything he says gets a lot of traction. And he understands the challenges of running wide open events like a CEO, Evo, Combo Breaker across the board on PC. But he would like to see, you know, attempts at trying it or going that route. And so this podcast, I'm going to go over a few things of the history of fighting game tournaments and how we use our equipment and how it started with Evo and arcade systems and just the scale that we've grown and what's required to put on these events that some people still don't understand how big these things and challenging they are and what consoles has done for us and being easy to have. You know, this tournament's on PlayStation 4. You know what system you're playing on. You adjust to the lag. You know, you play it in the comfort of your own home with your own stick, but at least you know that if you go to someone else's PlayStation, whatever controller, you know, you're using, we'll switch over to that. So, you know, very touchy subject. A lot of other organizers, smaller events have tried at weeklies. Shout outs to the Level Up series in California, who I'll never forget. I think 4 or 5 years ago, they were doing at Esports Arena, who is, you know, stacked with PCs for LAN events and other esports games. We're doing fighting game tournaments like Street Fighter V, I believe, across Windows PCs. And I'll never forget tuning into the stream, hearing the did-it-it on stream every single time someone unplugged a controller or stick from the Windows USB to plugging in the next one to setting up drivers. So that, number one, for people that don't want to put in the work and understand, is the biggest setback to why PCs at offline events don't work or don't work at the scale of, you know, what a CEO is when CEO runs, you know, uses 250 plus PlayStations and Nintendo Switches, and it's uniform, right? So going back, let's talk about, you know, the early 2000s, late 90s, when like Evo was B4, the name was B4 and B5 tournaments over in California, and they were on arcade cabinets before home consoles were, you know, back in the day. To play Street Fighter 2 on your Super Nintendo was not at the level of going to the arcade, and that's why I'm grateful for my history and the arcade culture of growing up and playing in arcades and just getting excited to walk into an arcade. And shout outs to Arcade Monsters for giving me that 90s feeling again over in Oviedo. They just keep adding back all the amazing music games you could only find in Japan. They keep pulling stuff over here. But, you know, you go back to that, and I don't know the numbers of B4 and all that, but you probably had a like 64-man tournament on an arcade cabinet that could still take all day. And they would have, you know, 4 or 5 arcade cabinets, but still everyone was forced to use fight sticks back then, right? Now, you know, fast forward 20 years later, everyone's using, you know, hitboxes, mix boxes, micro snacks, USBs, custom USBs, UFG, universal fight controller, you know, PCBs, like the list goes on, right? Pads. A lot of pad players are actually talking to a vendor I'll be working with at CEO this year about are buying these, you know, keyboard centric mix boxes, for example, where instead of an arcade stick, you know, that goes up, right, left, down, or whatever, you have 4 buttons that are up, right, left, down, and then the right side are the six buttons you'd play, but it's in a way that makes it feel like you're playing on a keyboard almost. I can't do it coming back from a history of fighting games and arcades and just always being a stick player. Some games over the years I've played, like Mortal Kombat's, early Tekken, I could play on a gamepad, but I use a fight stick historically. I've tried using hitboxes and, you know, and those kind of amazing controllers. I wish I could use one because they're so much easier to, you know, carry around. They're the size of a keyboard for the most part. But, you know, so back in the early days, you had one way of playing these games at tournaments. And then, you know, fast forward to home consoles like the Xbox 360, PlayStation 2, people were still plugging in these fight sticks to use. I'll never forget my first fight stick, which was just a big wooden box that could play on Dreamcast, because my early competitive days outside of arcades was going to like Gainesville, Florida and competing in Capcom versus SNK2, which you might have heard me before. If it wasn't for that game, CO would not exist, hands down. That's what got me into, you know, competing and learning after being an arcade baby that played mostly Mortal Kombat. So, you know, back then you all had a centralized way of playing these games at tournaments, and, you know, you knew what you're getting yourself into, right? Now, fast forward to now, right? Or, you know, let's go into the between that. So let's go to, I would say, the dark ages of Street Fighter after Marvel's Capcom 2, Third Strike had come out. Guilty Gear was just getting started in the early 2000s, mid 2000s, but Evo would still be really the only big event. And then you had the final rounds and the NECs and the ECCs and all that. We're still using pretty much community sourced consoles and a few arcade machines to run the older games like Alpha Series and all that. And it was a lot easier back then for the most part. You still had to, you know, either find equipment or support community with free venue fees and stuff, but still you weren't at the scale that we are now where, you know, CO this coming December, 3,000 attendees are competing and every single tournament is on PlayStation 4 except for Super Smash Brothers on the Nintendo Switch, because it's exclusive to that, right? Majority of these fighting games on PS4 are actually also on PC, being, you know, Guilty Gear Strive being, you know, going back and forth. A lot of people are playing it on Steam PC, and then a lot of people are playing on console, right? I've actually hosted a version of each for DreamHack Online, but everyone's in the comfort of their own home. So they know what they're playing on. They're comfortable. They have their own monitor set up that they deal with, you know, and some information's coming out that, you know, it's laggy on PlayStation. You know, PlayStation's always had lag issues. So kind of going back to, you know, after that kind of dark ages, I'd say from 2004, when I kind of got out of fighting games competitively myself, went into DDR and Versus system, a tournament card game and stuff such, it was, you know, the community was small. All of us really only back then connected through very early Facebook days and chat and Shuriken forums. And now Shuriken forums are gone. You know, I don't know if that's going to come back, but we have like event hubs and all that, but everyone's using Discord now. Which is amazing, by the way. Go to discord.gg/CEO gaming if you want to join our community, where everyone's asking me, how do I get into the sold out CEO right now? So, you know, 2008 comes around, Street Fighter 4 comes out, and it just blows things up. And everyone, like, I'm literally finding friends I haven't heard from 4 or 5 years on the Shuriken, like, Atlantic Southeast forums, like, hey, let's get the band back together. And what really, I think, catapulted Street Fighter 4 into a, like, United States phenomenon was the GameStop event, which they did, you know, you went into GameStops, they forced everyone to use, whether they were broken or not, Xbox controllers. And then they had like a winner from each region go on to the finals. I believe it was California or Vegas, one of the two. And that's when like Daigo met Justin Wong, one of my first mentors, Trent Van Deven, who's not really in the community anymore. He taught me how to play Street Fighter. He qualified out of Florida. So we had one console to play on. And back then, really, the two choices were Xbox 360 or PS3 when, you know, and Sony was sponsoring Evo at the time. And so, you know, if I had a sponsor from a big company and they were providing all the consoles, which get very pricey, I would run with that. And then I was doing kind of both at locals, but more people were starting to shift to Xbox 360. And, you know, me personally, coming from a competitive background, I remember feeling one of the first people to really feel the difference and talk about it publicly was like Xbox 360 had one less frame of lag. I just have a really innate ability to feel if a game's laggy, not scientifically, but I just feel it. So I knew playing on like going to Evo, playing on PS3, I adjusted to it. I'm very good about adjusting to lag as long as it's manageable. But it was a big difference. And then people towards the later life of, you know, Street Fighter 4 were shifting over to Xbox 360. And, you know, a lot of the tournaments I ran, the locals were either community sourced, or every time I won a tournament, I would take that money, go spend it at Dave and Buster's Raptor Capture, people remember, and win Xboxes for like the cost of $100 in tickets, you know, playing their ticket games until they changed how many tickets you can win from stuff. So I put in work to build up, you know, monitors and all that, but monitors were all over the place until the Evo VH236H from Asus was out. And that's what Evo was kind of using. And I'll never forget one of the first Evos I went to meeting Gaming Generations. And, you know, they were stacking all these monitors in the back in the boxes after the event. I was helping and they were stacking like the bases together. And this is when I realized that there were companies out there, or Gaming Gen, who, you know, without them, CEO would have such a hard time. I would have to literally come up with like $100,000 to invest in all the consoles, year-round updating and support for these games, get all the copies updated. And that's why Gaming Gen's made it so easy for, I would say, 50 plus events a year, you know, pre-COVID. And a lot of this conversation will be as if COVID never existed, right? So, you know, Xbox 360 came out and the community was kind of split for a few years. And then once PlayStation 4 kind of came out in 2016, I want to say, or 15, around that, Street Fighter V got announced specifically for PC and PlayStation 4. And that shifted everything away from Xbox One, which really, historically, if you think of any tournaments that ran on Xbox One, it was, you know, Call of Duty game, shooters, and Killer Instinct. Amazing game. I got to work on it for a couple years at Iron Galaxy. But that was it. You did not have any other reason to get an Xbox if you were a fighting game player. So that's when the natural shift to just PlayStation 4s and, you know, Gaming Gen investing in a lot of PS4s, and they'll rent out these consoles to events, right? So that's a bit of a backstory. Now we're entering the PS5 era, where it took me 9 months to get a second one for my older brother. Short supply, you know, Guilty Gear, I play it on my PS5. Luckily, if you have a PS5, you can actually choose to play the PS4 version specifically and download it. And when you play PS4 games on the PS5, it plays as if it's a PS4 Pro version. So PS4 Pros are a lot more common now. You can still get one for, you know, $300-$400. PS5s are $500, but, you know, they get tacked on, you know, the tax of being able to bot tax of like $700-$800 or whatever. But, you know, we will shift over, I think, to PS5, right? Sony is a part of Evo now, and they've been doing a lot of online tournaments. So it makes it a lot easier, right? So that's some of the backstory on consoles leading up to this point, where, you know, we're in 2021, offline starting to come back. The shift is basically a lot of PC players have been coming in, and, you know, I play a couple games on PC, especially the Steam games, right? You look back at like Melty Blood, and I'll talk about that in a moment. Over the years, there's so many offline tournaments that have to run on console because there's just so many. Imagine you're a local TO in the middle of nowhere that runs, and you have 16, 20 people come to your event. You only need a couple consoles, right? If you ran it on PC, you only need a couple PCs. But when you start diving into events that are running, you know, 200-300 players, so many issues come up with PC. And towards the end, I'll talk about how I think we fix this problem, if it can be fixed, right? Or if it actually realistically happens. So, you know, actually, let me check a tweet right now, because I asked for some questions. Yeah. See, I love when people respond. Like, that'd be about 100 PCs. Okay, a good PC could cost you 900, 1,000 if you built it, but then you got to build them all uniform. And dealing with driver issues isn't difficult at all. Like, come on, people. You don't understand. So, anyways. So, you know, talking about that, like, everyone's been playing on PC. So Melty Blood is a game where I've hosted Seotaku, right? It's on laptops, basically. It's a very good game, but you don't need labor intensive, you know, PCs to run this game. And the community would bring me like 4 to 6 laptops and they'd run it. They're so amazing to work with. But that they brought those things and everyone would agree to play across multiple ones, and some would have to deal with a couple driver issues here and there. So yeah. So, you know, there's that, right? I work with DreamHack as well, who historically runs a lot of stuff on PCs. They have these bring your own console areas where people can bring their own PCs, but you're not seeing two people play on the same PC, right? So they're playing on their setup that they're used to at home, and then they're logging in with DreamHack's amazing internet that they pay out the ass for at each event to get these like fiber T1 business lines and such, that you have all your settings already there. And then it's only you on that computer competing with everyone else. Like in a Fortnite tournament, for example, we had in DreamHack Anaheim in early 2020, where everyone was on the same you know, LAN playing in these open 100 man tournaments, but it was their own consoles, or I'm sorry, PCs, right? So, you know, DreamHack historically can run that stuff because people bring their own systems, but they're on their own system, right? So going forward, a lot of people plan their own PC monitors, you know, less lag. And that's kind of an issue that's coming up with PC, showing that some games run better on PC. And I've noticed it myself. I'm not going to lie, right? But if you're an organizer, for example, that CEO, right? I rent about 200 to 220 PlayStations from Gaming Gen, which they update them all. They transport them all across maybe five pallets, right? Because you can stack them. Now, PS5, I pray to God, they come out with a PS5 Pro or slimmer version. I want to respond to this tweet so bad. Like, that'll be about 100 PCs. Yes, I have $100,000 to get spend $1,000 PC. Anyways. Sorry, guys, this is just such a touchy subject that just drives people nuts, right? And then seeing a I'll get to these comments in a minute. Sorry. To current day, right? Everyone wants to switch to PC. Now, DreamHack, we hosted Brawlhalla. Brawlhalla, historically, a lot of competitive players play on PC. This game is free to play, has millions of players online. It's also, I believe it's cross-play now. You can play it on Nintendo Switch for free, PlayStation, Xbox, PC. Now, for the offline, we would run them on PCs. Fortunate for us, Blue Mammoth Games and FOTA, shout-outs to FOTA, who I've done an interview with here before, would bring all these Nook PCs. These are like 500-600 PCs because the game's not very labor intensive, right? Just needs a decent graphics card. And, you know, the game's very optimized to play on pretty much any kind of system. So they brought everything. They also brought a master USB drive where FOTA before an event was running around, making sure everyone's keyboards, everyone's mice would connect. And, you know, we could prepare for that, but they would only bring 32 setups. Imagine this across 300 setups at a fighting game tournament that you only really have 2 days to get through all until the top eight, right? How this could work for fighting games is, you know, I could get rid of CEO and do an invitational where everyone plays from home on their PC. And then we do a spectator only event with top 16 playing on these PCs. And then boom, you have the general 2% population that wins money, comes to the events, and then everyone else just watching. The beauty and what makes CEO, Combo Breaker, EVO, all these events special is the open bracket system. Doing that across the board is expensive. You don't understand. For Gaming Gen to ship, 200 PS4s, that could fit on 2-3 pallets. Have you seen the size of gaming PCs? Like, I've seen, when DreamHack packs up, there's pallets for even just 2 setups of PC that have to, you know, get shipped out. And we have an entire system of shipping stuff out. Sure, CEO, Combo Breaker, EVO, those big events could get a partnership and do that. But then what about the thousands of other offline events that are happening every day? If you have one console that everyone has to play on, they know what they can bring to the table. They know if their stick works to that. And that's why it's so hard to get away from consoles to do so. All right, I have to respond out of, anyways, so God, there's so many breaks. I apologize, guys. I got to stay off Twitter lately, which I actually have been very much so. I've been focusing on training the dog, found a good trainer. Anyways, back to this. So, you know, let's break it down. I wrote some points on this. I'm going to shorten this less than 10 more minutes on this. But so, you know, over the years, just running on console is so much easier, right? To do PCs. Okay, you've got to worry about getting these PCs, you know, updating them. Graphics cards are obsolete after a year, but you know, you could get a good 4 or 5 years out of a setup, right? But then you got to deal with drivers. Every time somebody plugs in something unique that the system's not built for, that could take a few minutes, and that adds up. When you have over, I would say, 1,000 matches across the board, you know, to do that. So, you know, it adds money. If a PC company, right, and DreamHack has done very well this in the past, a PC company like a CLX that actually builds custom PCs for you, brought everything, spent, you know, $20,000 in shipping costs to an event, we would go for it and give it a shot. But when you have to go through thousands of players, 10 different games, all that, that's just, it's near impossible. Now, how do you fix it? You run less games. You run a 1 or 2 game event. You cap it at, you know, 128 players. So you have time to run through everything and be prepared for anything that comes up. And it just isn't easy for an event like a CEO that I run, right? I need to run an event that is smooth sailing, that is easiest for people to sign up and join in, right? Say you are a PC gamer, but you were forced to play on console a couple times a year. That's like a $600-$700 total investment. And then you're going to be able to play anything you want that every tournament runs on. And it's cool, actually. It makes it a lot easier because up until like 2016, 17, a lot of us were running, you know, tournaments on all kinds of consoles and different, you know, past consoles, PS2, along with Dreamcast for like Marvel vs. Capcom 2, the best versions of it. So, you know, it's so now just so many consoles you got to do, right? So it's not easy. The way to fix it is get a huge sponsor, or, you know, you can do a crowdfunding. And I'm telling you, I've done the math with friends. You're looking at $200,000 in costs just to get every PC to be up to snuff, transported to your event, updated. Imagine trying to update multiple PCs at once, right, across the board. You need amazing internet to do so. That alone is going to take a day or two if you don't have someone to store these things. Imagine a company came on to go, here's $1 million, run all your tournaments on PC. Okay, I got to go now shop for a storage unit that's going to fit, you know, God knows, maybe 10,000 square feet could fit all the PCs I need, right? Which is an entire ballroom for a smaller local or regional. You know, just so much that a lot of us are not equipped for. And the only way we can do it is if, you know, a single game gets sponsored by a PC company and a pro tour goes, all right, you're running on PC, we're going to bring an entire staff, which then you got to get into hotel rooms to take care of everyone, the travel cost, all these little costs that they have to do. So, you know, it's a lot of cost. When you have people playing online tournaments all the time, it's easy for them to say, hey, just switch to PCs, but they don't kind of understand that part. But for the most part, a lot of people that have experienced it, and I know, you know, going back to Level Up, they switched back to consoles because of all the headaches of running PC, but it is possible. There's just so many things that come with it that it'll take 1 or 2 years of everyone to at offline to adjust to this format. And by then you're going to tick off so many attendees that just had horrible experience. The staff frustrated. You have to hire like probably quadruple the staff, have NVIDIA there in case something happens. Imagine a blue screen of death happens, you know, because somebody plugged in something, or, you know, GPUs. People are freaking prioritizing GPUs right now. Imagine you have all these consoles and it just, you open the side door and somebody pulls out your graphics card and boom, it's gone. So just all these things, right? And you'll kind of have to worry about that with PlayStation 5s. But historically, gaming gen, we maybe lose 1 or 2 consoles at each event and stuff. So yeah. God, this guy just won't respond. won't understand. You know, just trying to find someone across the board. And we do our events like once or twice a year, just to store that kind of updating. We're not equipped for that. A lot of us have full-time jobs. I do both DreamHack and this, right? But will it ever happen? Now that Sony and Evo have kind of partnered up in a bigger way, I expect Open Evos, when they hopefully come back, to be on PlayStations. You know, it's to push the PlayStation brand. And then there's room for both. There can be lots of PC invitationals and PC tournaments. If the players know what they're getting into in advance and somebody can handle the logistics of it, by all means, do that, right? So that's kind of the way to go about it. You know, and it's just... would love to see it happen, honestly, because you know, a lot of people behind the scenes are like, you know, if we had PC fighting game turns on PC, we'd get these huge $1 million sponsors like other esports do. And I agree, they do. But not every event's going to be able to, you know, conform and run all these things or find these PCs all over the place. So just a topic that always gets touchy. Sorry, I'm kind of all over the place on this one. But it's just, you know, we've looked into it. TOs with the experience have tried it. We've done it with smaller games. It can work, but it's just so hard. You know what I mean? So yeah. Yeah. Anyways, so I will get into the questions, and then, you know, if somebody came out with like a dedicated PC that was just for fighting games that, you know, everyone could agree to, we can get like 3-4 years out of that. But when you have PlayStations, you get a good 6-8 years out of them, right? Until, you know, and it's cool that a lot of these PS4, PS5 games are coming out. You know, King of Fighters will be cross generation across all the systems. So we still have a couple years with PS4, in my opinion, until PS5s are widely available and all that stuff. Yeah. So, so let me go over some, you know, comments from everyone. You know, just going to run this through and people. So one guy tweeted, I'd love to hear about the cost differences, if any, and if any sort of additional staff is required. Troubleshooting. Yes, yes, yes. Imagine someone just shows up 10 minutes before their pool, right? You can't say, hey, everyone's got to show up a day early, and you got to plug in your stick into every single PC we have to make sure it works. You would have to have a uniform list on the registration saying, hey, this is exactly what works. If you don't have this, you cannot compete, right? That's just a whole nother can of worms right there. But that's feasible if you have a centralized rule system, what works, what doesn't. But you're always going to get one unique thing that you didn't account for, and then you got to spend a few minutes to do that for one or two matches, and then, you know, you go back to the rest. Next question. That zoo with a lot of O's in this. Driver and stick compatibility issues, different specs, powers of PC. What should be the minimum standard for competitive play? Which OS hardware should be used? Since PC can accept a lot of USB devices, which input devices are allowed, e.g. keyboard or other USB? So this is on the driver's things, right? It's not as big of a pain if you're prepared for it, but it's going to come up a lot. People are going to have all kinds of unique controllers and stick. So it's just going to be very, very tough to deal with. So centralized information, what's allowed, but you have other consoles at these events. What about BYOC area when people want to bust out a Street Fighter Cross Tekken on PS3 and somebody wants to play that and they have a PC only stick that's not going to work on PlayStation? When you have all the same system, it's a lot easier, a lot less options. It makes everything run so much smoother for these tournaments where you have to get through a 32 man bracket in 2 hours before you got to move on to the next bracket. Imagine a console has to be restarted, or, you know, the game has to be restarted, especially Guilty Gear. Now, if you have it offline or the network connection disconnected, it won't go through the, you know, communicating with server and slow things down. But another thing you have to kind of consider and prepare for. So bigger events could do all this. It would not work across the board, in my opinion. Everyone would have to conform to it. If somebody competes at a local, then goes to a bigger event, you know, it's got to be both across the board. What if my PCs are better than the local guy who can't afford a bigger PC, everyone brought their own PC to run these things. Again, running into the compatibility issues, different specs. Then you go back to Brawlhalla, which the players are so used to 144 hertz monitors, they will not play on anything else. And we had to go to a point where DreamHack had to specifically buy them, or Brawlhalla had to invest specifically in these, ship them to my event. That's a whole nother cost associated with these events that fortunately Brawlhalla's community kept up with, right? So Riku5690 says, I think it'd be a lot more difficult price-wise. Agreed. You would have to buy custom builds, which can go way high up in price. Or you have to buy them already complete, like from a retail store, which can go high up in price by themselves. PlayStation 4s, $300-$400. PCs, you can build a good one for $900 that can play most of these fighting games. So what about future proofing? You're looking at high end to run these tournaments smoothly, or, you know, Asus or Alienware, $1,500 to $2,000 a pop. Times that by three, you know, 300 of those things at an event. For one event, players are only paying $70 to $80 now to enter these offline events. They would need to pay $200 to afford these things for a TO. And then again, the staff cost, the travel cost. Like, you're getting the theme. It's expensive. Full with a cause. Just one question that you can answer last after addressing all of the problems. What would have to change to make PC tournament make more sense? Maybe it's not cheaper. Maybe some of the problems are resolved. But how close does it need to get that the deal breakers are gone? everything I've previously said. Somebody comes out with a $600 Steam machine that can run all these fighting games perfectly that are small and portable. Boom, there's your first problem. Then coming out with driver systems or, you know, having rule sets across the board that every tournament is going to agree to, which is also very tough because every tournament runs different games. Every tournament has, you know, their different finances and who their sponsors are. So just so much that it's just so hard. Now, if these tournaments are online, everyone plays on their own PC, problem solved. But everything I'm mentioning here is based on offline attendance. Going to take a quick break, and then I will get end this podcast with you guys. Be right back. And I'm back. Sorry about that. Just a couple more minutes. But yeah, so to make it make more sense, just there's too many events out there for all of us to jump to it. Now, do I think it'll never happen? No. I think when, you know, League of Legends and Riot, who works with the Evo team or has hired some of those guys, when they come out with their fighting game, I see a shift in that. Now, will they support, you know, community events across the board with PCs? Who knows? You know, I haven't seen any of the Riot games or League of Legends games outside of the Wild Rift, I think, come on mobile, right? So you haven't seen any of them on consoles. Now, if Riot comes out with their fighting game on consoles, it'll go a much longer way. Or, you know, if Evo alone is the only event 1 year, you know, one time a year that runs on PCs because Riot is supporting it, it'll work. But we're not there yet. We don't know when that's coming out. It seems like it's still a couple years away. And then we'll take it from there. But, you know, just so much would have to go right for this to work and just a uniform system. Somebody has to set the rules. If Capcom said, hey, here's a bunch of PCs, that game has to specifically on it. You're probably going to see a lot of people entering multiple games, bring multiple sticks or, you know, work within their system to make sure it works across the board on, you know, console and all that. So, but that's what kind of would take to work. A huge sponsor, the support system, the the cost of transporting, the storing of these dedicated PCs, but it's going to be a while. Look, you can't get a 3000 series RTX anywhere. You can't even get a 2000. I have a 2070 super in the PC I'm recording this on now that I stream my online events with and, you know, stream on the twitch.tv/CEO gaming channel and twitch.tv/DreamHackFighters. You know, even that I could probably just take that graphics card and sell for $600-$700 right now. That's how hard they are to get. So, next one. Do you think, and this comes from, I didn't get the name, but do you think having a resource for people to compile things like standardized Windows GPU settings, supported PCBs that require drivers, tinkering, outline of specific in-game settings would be worthwhile to TOs wanting to transition to PS? 100% super helpful. Again, it comes to the cost of how many, organizers, you know, how many organizers are going to spend the money to get these PCs and transition to that without support? Even now, I'm worried when PS5 comes out, the cost of renting them from Gaming Gen, you know, I spend, I'm going to ballpark probably around $20,000-$30,000 in rental just for one single event, guys. And that's where a lot of the venue costs and badge fees go into is renting the equipment, making sure everything's updated. And Gaming Gen is a turnkey operation that also operates in used game stores up in the Wisconsin area. And they have staff that are there full time updating these systems. They have a huge warehouse, you know. Now, there's so many events, they can't be everywhere at once. And once they're at a CEO, they can't support any other events within like a week or two frame time unless they're a truck driver, shout outs to Brandon, who literally drives 20 hours straight to events to bring you the consoles to, you know, to run. So you're looking at a lot of those things that'll be really hard. Crit_effect, not sure if it's too late to ask this, but how would PC tournaments be perceived if the game was ran at a lower quality but stable 60 frames per second? This is assuming that no other factors would be detrimental, controller plugins, random updates. That's not something I really deal in. I know PS5, Xbox Series X, the future is 120 frames per second if you use a specific HDMI 2.1 cord. I don't think any PC monitors or, you know, lower end monitors that a lot of our events are used to using with like 60 frames per or 60 hertz are ready for that. We would have to get all new things. Like if you bought a TV within the last year, you should have HDMI 2.1. And that's what gets that native 120 frames per second. It's also freaking confusing as shit. When you go out to buy these things, if you don't realize that a back HDMI port has 2.1, then you're out of luck pretty much if you want to play, you know, PlayStation 5 to its max potential and all that. So that's an issue that's going to come up with, you know, monitors and PCs in the future. And so, you know, running everything on PS4, you use one monitor across the board. Everyone has time to warm up. They know what they're expecting, you know, but when you get into somebody on PC playing a 240 Hertz setup, and then they come to a turn that's, you know, 60 Hertz on PC and everything's different for them, it's going to affect them. So it's just the ease of use, but you know, the common theme is, just PC is really tough, right? So yeah. Let's see. If I ever come to CO, do you want to grab a pizza sometime? I order staff pizza, so sure. Shadon 1010 says Shadon. Shadon. I'm going to go Shadon. I swear, if people brought full-blown PCs to large turns, you get at least one case of some effer stealing a GPU from one in the same way that people steal catalytic converters from cars. Agreed. If the price compatibility logistics to run FGC on PC were solved, would you run it? I would take a chance on that. So I'll answer in a second. So to sum up, you know, we'd love to see tournaments run on PC. If you're a regional event or a qualifier, everyone can play on PC because you have a smaller attendance. But when you have tournaments, you know, that have, you know, for example, a couple of my events at CO this year have 768 players. Imagine you would need realistically 32 PCs to run that within 2 days to get down to a top eight. That sounds doable. But then when you times that by the 9 other games that run on the exact same system, a PlayStation, where everyone's is prepared and knows what their sticks will work, that's why it's easier for guys like me to keep running it on console. But the day could change. You know, I've always progressed, you know, Evo switched from arcade to console, to new systems as they came out, but we had gaming gen along the way. But a lot of other events, they had to run what they were able to afford. And you're seeing a lot of LAN centers do open bracket tournaments. You know, they'll get like 64 people at a local, but they have their PCs there. They don't have to transport them to live events. They don't have to worry about updating them outside of their, you know, out of their location. It's the transporting PCs are just giant. So I hope this helps. You know, it went longer than I wanted to. You know, the TLDR, if you listen all the way up until this point, it's just, you know, logistically, guys, the USB drivers, but that's probably the least of the worries now. People are more prepared for that, you know, having generalized specs and all that. It's going to be a while. I know people would love to play on what they're comfortable with at home, but for now, you know, especially this year, I don't see it changing to PC. PlayStation being a bigger part of the FGC now with Evo's brand. You know, they're going to be pushing their PlayStations and rightfully so. PlayStation's been, you know, behind the scenes, a bigger supporter than any PC makers or, you know, companies. And sure, I can go to a company with a proposal. Hey, we will promote your PCs across the board. I need $200,000. I need travel costs covered. I need staffing to deal with driver issues. Like, it's just going to become a whole F show. So hope you guys are well. Next for me is DreamHack Beyond in a couple weeks. I've been preparing for. So I've been kind of dealing with all that to make sure this event's smooth. If you actually go to dreamhack.com/beyond, you can submit for free tickets. It's a free show. And then closer to the event, we'll send out emails on how to log in and get involved and check out this digital world that we're building for everyone. So, NXZT. I hope I said that right. Last one, huge sponsor. They spawn a lot of very encouraged, even a PC setting requirement, each PC. Yep. So, NZXT, huge, huge company. They follow me. Thank you. You know, there are a lot of variables when it comes to running PCs for an FGC tournament, from stick pad compatibility, driver, hardware issues, etc. Even setting up a PC requires a mouse and keyboard for each PC to get signed in and loaded up on a game. Correct. So, there you go, guys. Have a great week. I will be back next week. Keep you guys updated. Again, go to the discord.gg/CEO gaming. If you're listening to this and trying to get into CEO, every Friday, I go through all my emails one by one and refund or, you know, open up spots for people to sign up. And it's been working with the waiting list channel and everything. So, thank you. Stay safe out there. Talk to you soon.